Was everybody well and happy this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. If you ain't, say it by faith. Amen. Call those things that be not as though they were.
Amen.
You know, I've had to talk to my body a lot over the years. You know what? I ain't done talking to it. Because I got a job to do and I'm going to finish my race.
Amen.
Amen. And you are too.
Yes.
Ain't that right? We're not going to settle for anything less. Yeah, I see Mike's going to agree with me. I'll take that, Mike. I'll take some agreement in that. All right, so before I get started, I want to say that I want to say thank you for coming out. All right? I want to thank my wife. You know, Proverbs 18:22, you know, I thought this was kind of funny sitting in prayer class. And Wanda goes to Proverbs 18. This is not the scripture she goes to, but the Lord brought my eyes right to it. And I'm going, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I'm going, what in the world was Solomon thinking when he wrote that? Now, wait a minute. You got to understand, Solomon had many wives. Then it says that he finds favor with the Lord. But the verse right above that is the one the Lord brought my eyes to. Do you know what it says, the one right above it? Right above it. I can talk. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you got to be mindful of what you're saying about your wife. The very next verse is, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So, you know, Teresa's always signed everything, every note she leaves at the house is signed, your good thing. She's done that. Good day. Just about ever since we've been married. So she said, I am your good thing and don't you forget it. So that's all right. So anyway, I'm very thankful for my wife. I'm very thankful for this church. We were in an elders meeting last Sunday and that was a real eye-opener for me. And I learned some things. You're never going to be too old to learn. And if you think you've reached that point that you know it all, you're in trouble. And we've got a lot of people out here in the world that think they already know. You don't have to tell them, so they already got it. So until they start doing it, and then they don't know what they thought they knew. But anyway, a couple of things were said out there, and Pastor Rob reminded us, and if you're getting those jokes that's coming through there, that's because that residue that he left here. And then he gave me a pair of shoes on top of it, and Tricia told me I had to wear them today. So you're going to get some of that, okay? A couple of things are said, and Pastor Rob reminded us that Don Covey had gave a prophecy for this church about being a strategic church. And how many believe that this is a strategic church?
Yes.
If you haven't seen that in Operation School Guard, and some of the things that's coming out now that we're involved in, not so we can get our name on the list, but because that's a God thing, because God put that in the heart here, and of some people, and we're implementing that, and I'm asking you to stay true to that, because that is a calling for this church.
Amen.
Yeah. So strategic, I didn't realize this, is small bands of strategically placed troops. So I've always wondered, you know, at one time, you know, we were 400 plus, almost 500 people here.
Amen.
Yeah, we were running two services, and of course, you know that a lot of people have started churches from this, because that's one of the visions of this church. If you remember, I don't know if you remember me talking last time that we need to know the history of our church. So don't be alarmed by numbers. Be alarmed if the Spirit of God is not speaking. That's when you need to be alarmed. Yeah, because if you're coming just to say, yeah, I went to church. I did. I gave my dollar when the offering plate passed. I gave. If you're doing that, then you're in trouble. We're going to talk about the Word of God today and what it means. And I'm going to try to, by the Spirit of God, to emphasize what the Word of God means to me. I can keep my emotions in check and I can present this the way it needs to be presented, because this should be the most important thing to you. The way you treat the Word of God is the way your life goes. You can't get away from that. No matter what you try to do, I'm not talking about just reading it. I'm talking about it, making it your lifestyle. I'm talking about being persecuted for what you believe. And too many people want to go with the flow. And, you know, just they want to be accepted. I don't like causing a scene either. But when it's not right, guess what? It's not right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but if you don't know the Word of God, and if you don't know what the Holy Spirit is teaching you and helping you, then you're going to not have a very fulfilling life as a Christian. It's going to be, if I can get by the skin of my teeth. Of course, you know, you've heard that. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what to do when real life situations hit you right square in the face. And like most people, or most good people, and I know a lot of good people, a lot of church going people, they don't even have a clue what to do. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, ain't it? It's sad. And do we have all the answers? No. No. Are we perfect? No. No. We have to see ourselves in Him. Like, this is a walk of faith, right? Right. And you are required to grow from faith to faith. You are required not to stay a baby. If you're just born again, you're required to grow up, right? You can't speak to certain people. You can't talk about certain things to certain people unless they got a little maturity about them. Now, you ever tried to feed a baby a solid food? What would happen? It wouldn't be very good, would it? No. If they didn't regurgitate it all over you, then there would be some digestive problems, wouldn't it? Right? So every person is on a different level. And only the Spirit of God can quicken things to you as the Spirit of God leads and directs as the Word of God goes forth. Right? Amen. My responsibility was to prepare. And I have prepared. I knew exactly what I was to minister. Now, I didn't have all the answers, but that required seeking God. Right? And I hope you're not in a hurry, because we're on God's time. Right. Now, if you need to leave, I understand that. We all have obligations and things like that, and I won't think no nothing, okay? But I'm asking you to hook up, because I believe the Spirit of God can quicken some things to you in your personal walk to help you and to equip you for the days ahead, okay? All right? All right, everybody ready? Okay? All right, title of my sermon is Here's the Light, Now Turn It On. All right, let's look at Psalms 119, 105. 119, 105, it says, they can put it up, they got it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is a light? The Word. Okay. So it will do what? It will help you see where you stand, and it will give you direction in which way to go. The Word not only will show you which path to take, it will also show you where and how to stand. The Word will do that for you. Now, you need to understand that John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and His Word are inseparable. They are one and the same. Correct?
Yes.
All on the same page, right? In Matthew 5:15. This is New Living, and I got one of the older versions, so it may read just a little bit different, but you'll get the gist of it. So it says, Matthew 5:15, it says, "No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." A light is done what? You do what with a light? You put it on a stand so everyone in the house can see by it. So what is a lamp? So what was the lamp? The Word. Okay, so in the scriptures above that, verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth." And then verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see." Who is? Jesus is, right? I thought we put all the responsibility on Him. I thought that was His. It did say Jesus is the light of the world, right? Well, we know that. But it says right here that you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hid. People going to be looking at you if you're a light? You're going to be given some direction? You're going to be able to answer some questions? Is this good?
Amen.
I thought all the responsibility fell on God. That's what most people do. You know, they have a no-fault religion. That's what Keith Moore calls it. No fault. Well, ain't my fault. You know, when God, well, God's in control. He's in control of everything, right? No. No. And that's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. He's not in control of what you choose. Now, He can influence you in what you choose. And He can give you some surefire direction, everything, but get out there and shake you a little bit. Doesn't it say that He stands at the door and knocks, right? Any man who opens to Him, He'll come in and what? Sup with him. Ain't that right? He didn't say He's going to knock the door down and come on in and tell you what to do. No, He's standing there knocking. And to put it all on Him is wrong. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We need to have some of our thinking realigned. Because there's a lot of Christians out there who think that God is in control of every little thing that's happening. Yeah, and that's wrong. Okay. How many know we have a devil out there? You know, when I got the minister last time, you remember blowing the shofar? Yeah? 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 You remember what I told you what that would do in the spirit realm? That it would announce to the enemy that this is coming through whether you like it or not. And that it's going to do some damage. Well, I tell you what, buddy. It's been tough at the Keith household. Yeah. It's been tough. You know why? The devil don't like it. It ain't that God didn't care. The devil don't like it. So, if it's stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, what is it? God? John 10:10 says what? The thief comes not, but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, if you're thinking that going into some kind of terrible thing is God ordained, you're wrong. Right? Are we going to see those things? Yes. He told us we would. But our hope is in Him. Right? He can show you the way out, the way through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. right? Your hopes and your plans and dreams should be in Him. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Now, so that's, we're talking about making the Word of God a light and making us a light, right? That's what it'll do. That's what the Word of God does. I wrote this down. Don't allow the things of the world, the enemy of this age, to keep you down. Let the Word of God illuminate in you and lift you up to a place on a stand for all to see. Well, I don't like people looking at me. Well, guess what? The world's looking at you. Whether you like it or not, they're looking. You're claiming that you've got the answers. You better start hooking up with the one who does. Let's put it that way. Okay? Because they're going to be coming to you. Right? It's kind of sobering, ain't it? That's all right. The pastor ain't doing this. I'm the one doing it. So maybe when he gets back next week, he can straighten it all out. All right? All right. So that's what the Word of God does. It brings you up higher. If you will allow the Word of God to quicken by the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, because that's what has to change is your heart. And your mind has to be renewed. You didn't get a new mind when you got born again, right? Does everybody know that? You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, right? You didn't get a new body. You're going to get one day, thank goodness. Amen. Glorified. You're going to know me as I am known. Ain't that right, Dusty? I'm going to know you just like I know you right now, brother. That's right. But you're going to have a glorified body just like Him. When we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. Oh, yeah. All right. So let's let the Word of God help us to locate where we are, where we are standing, the predicaments that we're in, and let it shed some light on the path that we should take. Let's let the Word of God do that for us. All right, so let's look at Psalms while we're right there, 119. Let's look at Psalms 119, 130. And this is kind of evident of what's going on right here. The teaching of your word gives light. Even the simple can understand. So that's what we're doing. We're teaching the Word of God. So in teaching the Word of God, it will bring... It will give you light. It will illuminate. Right? So as you're sitting here, and Wanda prayed it this morning, you know as well as I do, you've heard it said, thy word, this word right here, is health to all your flesh. It's medicine to all your flesh. Ain't that right? All your flesh. Spirit, soul, and body. Now you can allow the Word of God, even if it's a basic teaching like what I'm doing right now, it can quicken in you and create whatever it needs to be created. Somebody, if you're sitting here with kidney problems, they should be being ministered to right now. That's a word. If you're sitting here and you're struggling with, I don't know why, if you're sitting here struggling with any ailment in your body, then the Word of God is quick. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes deep into the marrow and joints. And it can quicken or make alive whatever needs to be made alive again. So if you got something that's dying on your body, you need to speak to it. Is that God's responsibility? Is that God's responsibility? Whose responsibility is that? It's mine. You need to say it. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility. Your growth is not left up to me. Your growth is left up to you. Right? Now you can treat the Word of God like it don't. Well, you know, I'm doing my Christian thing here. Or you can treat it like this is life. This is health. This is everything I need because He said it was. Now, when it don't look like it on the outside, what are we supposed to do? It says we are to take it by faith. Ain't that right? We're to say that we're to call those things that be not as though they were. Right? Right? So it's a faith walk. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So you are to speak to it, and you are to call it as the light enters in and causes you to be a light. It'll illuminate and cause you to be what it says it is. Okay. Maybe that didn't come through right, but maybe it did. It did? Okay. Okay. So to identify with light, you have to identify with the Word. And to identify with the Word, you must identify with God Himself. How many times have you heard Pastor Rob preach, "See yourself as God sees you"? Many, many times. You have to identify with this. Say, you know, when you get born again, you're thinking all these different thoughts. You're trying to figure out what happened. I was a little boy when I got born again, and I didn't pursue the things of God. I didn't have that kind of training, you know. But as I got older and going through my teenage years, I developed a, I don't know, I found out later I had a grandma on my dad's side. She said, first time I seen her, I was 18 years old. I walked into her, and she's the first thing out of her mouth, she says, "I've been praying for you." The power of prayer. So as a little boy, see, it says that God dealt unto every man the measure of faith. There's a measure there. And through teaching as a little boy and going to Sunday school class, she was praying. And these things were quickened by the Holy Spirit in my heart. And I found myself going to a scripture. I picked up my grandma's Bible and I was thumbing through it. And I come across a Psalms, I think it's 121. "I will lift my eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." I'm going to look up to the mountain, right? That ain't where my help comes from. I can look up. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look up, boy. Look up. But your help comes from me. The help ain't coming from the mountain. Your help's coming from him. So look up. Look up. Your help's coming, folks. Look up. All right? So 1 John 1. Now, let's get some identifying going on here, okay? So we understand why people look at light, why they want to look at you a certain way. Do they? They look at you a certain way when you're out there in the world. They do me. I mean, some of them are pretty vicious. And you claim to be a Christian. You don't get none of that? Well, I get a lot of that. Dusty knows, working at Bobo, I'm around about 1,500 different people. And they got different mindsets. They don't come to Christian Go Center, a lot of them. I don't know if they're renewing their mind or not. I'm praying for them because I'm learning how to pray that God will quicken in them, will make alive the word that's sown in their hearts. Bring it back to them so they come to themselves and they see themselves for who they really are. Amen. That's Timothy. That's what Paul told Timothy to do, that would stir up in them. All right, so let's get some identifying going on. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. So this is the message he has given unto us to announce to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. How much? Zero. Verse 6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're what? We're lying. We are not living in the truth. And I wrote, note, that is a dangerous place to be. Mm-hmm. But, thank goodness there's a but in here. Woo-hoo. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, And I wrote another note here. Wonder why we don't get along so good. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship one with another. If we're living in that light, we'll be getting along a little better. You getting along at home all right? Everything good? Hunky-dory? Just... No. Boy, it sure is quiet in this church. Everything good on the job? Getting along for everybody? Think there's some light we need to walk in? As Christ walked in? Think there's some light there we need to identify with that maybe we need to change? Yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there. I'm just giving it to you the way God gave it to me. So if He's giving it to me, to be faithful in something. I learned this. I've been learning some of this. This is tough. Boy, this is tough. That's a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. You know, we consider, like, we hear it going, well, y'all sure are faithful people. Y'all come all the time and all that. And, you know, that's not faithfulness. That's not faithfulness. That's diligence. I'm very diligent to be here when the church doors are open. I'm diligent to come to prayer class, you know. You know, something really drastic would have to be going on to keep me from it. You know, I'm very diligent about coming home and going to work. And that's not faithful. You know what faithfulness is? And I'm just going to just make it real easy, you know, because it's a lot more in depth than what I'm getting ready to say. Faithfulness is just you're willing to submit and do what you're told to do. That's a big difference. Most people don't like to talk about submission. You want me to do what? You want me to do what, Pastor? Now I'm gonna help you out, Pastor. I'm gonna make this just a little bit better because I think it ought to be done. Hey, you didn't ask me to do it that way. Well, I'm just gonna put a little something on there. I know it can't hurt. Is that faithful? Y'all remember the parable about the faithful stewards? He gave one 5 talent, one 2, one 1. What did He tell them at the end? Well, good, well done, thy good and faithful, sir. He took what he had, done exactly what he was told to do with it, and brought it back to him because it wasn't his to start with, right? He was being faithful with his master's whatever he gave him. Yeah. So we have to be faithful and submissive to when we hear, like when the pastor gives us, like Operation School Guard. That sounds like, well, I'm just going to tag it. I'm just going to add this little something to it here. It's going to make it a lot better. No, don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. You've got the prayers to pray in there. If you're just praying them and you're just saying the words, then make your body, which your flesh don't like it, then just make your flesh stop and go, what is this really saying? What am I really praying here, Lord? How can I really hook up with this? Because these were put together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you got to accept it like that. And you have to be faithful with that. Whether you like it, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, then to be faithful, you have to do it the way it was set up to do. And you have to submit to it. Now when the Holy Spirit quickens something to you and He shows you something, then Pastor Todd's very approachable, ain't he? Hey, you go, Pastor Todd, God showed this to me. What do you think? Or what? Then put that with that. And present that to Him that way. Does that make sense? Faithfulness is a little different subject. And we're going to learn some of that. We need to, right? We do. I want to hear "well done, good and faithful servant" when I get to my end, don't you? No, well, I put my twist on it, God. I thought that would help. I don't think that's what he's looking for. You remember the scripture in Matthew? Is that 7? Where it says, they're going to come to me and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name, done all these sort of things, and done many marvelous works in your name?" And what does he say to them? "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Whew. That's pretty sobering, ain't it? That's a sobering thought. Well, Lord, I've done all this. I cast out devils in your name. I did this. "Depart from me. I never knew you." A little different than submitting and being a faithful person. Yeah. Okay. That was for free. That was part of the light there, I guess. Okay. So let's look at Big John. Everybody's favorite. Big John 3:16. Now we're identifying light and darkness, right? Because we want some identification. Okay, so we start in John 3:16. Everybody should know this and write. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him." That is a great place to say, "Thank you, Lord."
Thank you, Lord.
If you trust him. "But those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Their judgment is based on this fact: the light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly. So everyone can see that they are doing what God wants." So why do people stay in darkness? I'm talking even Christian people. They're afraid of being exposed. They're afraid of being caught. It's easier to sin in the darkness than it is to be exposed to the light. Yeah. Why does the enemy want your light? Why does he want it hid? Why does he want it hid? You ever thought about it? Why does he want to keep you under the bed, so to speak? Hide it under the bed, right? Why does he want to do that? That's exactly right. So the kingdom of God won't advance. That's the biggest thing. In the Lord's Prayer, that's his biggest thing. Yeah. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I wrote this down because out of a lot of teaching that I've been here and been involved in, and listened to Sister Tricia and Pastor Rob teach, and I wrote this down because I believe it's by the Spirit of God. It says, this is how he gave it to me. "Why does the enemy want your light hid? To keep the glory of God, which is his goodness, from being revealed to the world." He wants to keep the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Tricia's taught us. It's his goodness. You know, there's a lot of people who don't even know God's good. They think God's a problem. God killed my boy, took him home. I can't serve a God like that. I don't know why God did that. God put this cancer on so-and-so, and they got all this stuff going on, and I don't understand. God, 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 God. Yeah, we hear it all the time, don't we? Yeah. And what's bad? A lot of Christians saying it. Mm-hmm. don't even know who God is. They don't even have an inkling of the light or the glory or the goodness of God. God is good. And that goodness got involved in the beginning. I want you to look at Genesis 1, 1 through 5, but I want you to look at it a little different way today. We just read that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, right? Now, I want to be faithful because this is the way God gave it. Well, I'm about done, so everybody relax. Okay. Get you out here in time. I've got some homemade soup at home. I'm going to go chow down homemade soup and a little peanut butter sandwich here in a little bit. All right? Okay? Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm old school, so I like the old stuff. All right? All right. So here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness. All right, let's try it one more time, Calvin. You can do better than that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness. It was what? It was a mass cloaked in darkness. I know that reads a little bit different than my New Living. That's all right. And the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. God said, "Let there be light." Now, we just read that God is light, right? Right. In Him is no darkness at all. God said, "Let there be light." What is He saying? The I Am is saying, "I'm coming into that. I'm introducing myself into this." That's what He's saying. Let there be light. I'm stepping in here now. That's what He's saying. The I Am is on the scene. And there was light. And God saw that it was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. He separated it. Because He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He did it in the beginning. He's going to do it in the end. And we're getting ready to read some of that here in a minute too. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Together, these made up one day. All right, so somebody said, well, that's the sun, the stars, moon, and all that. No, that was created on the fourth day. That's the fourth day. That's verse 16. So God stepped in to the darkness and said, let there be me. I'm here now. That look a little different than what maybe you've read that. Thank you, Lord. Now let's look at the end. We're getting ready to finish up. Revelation 21, 1 through 8. And I'll... I'm giving it to you just like the Lord gave it to me. I'm doing my best to be faithful what He gave me. And you'll have to take it home and work it out. Okay? All right? Yeah, yeah. That's not my responsibility. That's yours. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Revelation 21, some of my favorite reading. I really like it. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. Thank God. For the old heaven and old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, the home of God is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrows and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. For the old world and its evils are gone forever. Thank God. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, and I am making all things new." And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Write it down. It's a done deal. And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of the water of life without charge." They're free, folks. All who are... Well, yeah, I just got quickened right there. They're free for you to receive. They cost a great price. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God and they will be my children. But cowards who turn away from me, and unbelievers, and the corrupt, and murderers, and the immoral, and those who practice witchcraft, and idol worshippers, and all liars, their doom is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. I don't want no place in the lake. Do you? Not that lake. Let's drop down to verse 21 and we're going to finish up with this. It says, the 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. That must be some big clams in heaven. and the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. Now listen, this is the good part right here. It's all good, but this is the icing on the cake. Gary, you like icing, don't you, brother? Yeah, I know you do. No temple could be seen in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city. The what illuminates the city? The glory of God. When God came on the scene and he said, "Let there be light," his goodness stepped into this earth. It never experienced anything like it before. His goodness brought light. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God is not good. And the Lamb is its light. You want God's goodness? His Son. That's His Son. The nations of the earth will walk in its light, and the rulers of the world will come and bring their glory to it. The gates never close at the end of the day because there is no night. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter. No one who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to ask you something. Is your name written there today? Is it wrote there? You ain't done something to get it blotted out, have you? No? Any doubt? Today's the day of salvation, is what the Bible says. You know, I always thought, we take it for granted that, we're just here. No, this is a destined day. This is a day of destiny. Yeah. We're not just happen to be going here and happen to be doing this. No. It says to acknowledge Him in all your ways and He'll direct your path. Ain't that right? Amen. This is a divine appointment for me. I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord or you're not sure, or it says to make your calling and election sure. Yeah, yeah. You need to know what you know. Know what you know. I'm going to finish up with a poem. This is a poem that I have hanging on my refrigerator. It's been hanging there for years. But Smith Wigglesworth wrote this, and I know Judy, she likes poems. And this is a poem. It's kind of a quote more than anything. And this is by Smith Wigglesworth. He says, "The Bible is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, and inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on." Mm-hmm. God's a good God, ain't he?
Amen.
Yes. All the time. You said it, Miss Judy, all the time. You know, this is my church family, and I love you. Yeah. Yeah, I want to tell you that. I do. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It may not be pleasant, but I'm going to tell you the truth. All right? And I expect you to tell me the truth. If you see me in something that I shouldn't, or you want to question me about something that I'm doing, feel free to do it. We need to be accountable to each other. Uh-huh. That's right. We are the light of the world. You may not like that, but he's called us to be light. Yeah, he's called us to be salt, and he's called us to be light. So don't be sitting there going, "I don't know what we're going to do." I know what you better be doing, and that's better be getting with God. Yeah. Yeah. It's uncalled for that we don't have the answers for people out here. Yeah, that's right. We claim we have the answers. We got them. And we better be doing something with it. Ain't that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll quit.